Welcome to the Executive Function Podcast, where we make the invisible keys to success easy for you to teach your child. We'll go beyond theory to proven action, helping you create peace and independence at home and at school with your host, educational author, award-winning teacher, and celebrated learning coach, Sarah Kesty.
Team, it is so good to be here with you and explore something that I'm really excited to think about with you today. It is, are we accidentally playing on hard mode? And you probably know by now I'm not a real video game girl, so this analogy could be other modes as well, but we're going to give it a shot. And before we get into it, I just wanted to let you know something I'm so super excited about is that we are working hard behind the scenes to launch Brain Tools School, which is going to be a hybrid learning and coaching program. It's opening soon. The first cohort will really teach and support executive function for thriving in and after high school and college, so that young adult area of life. More information is coming soon, but if that sounds like, oh my gosh, wait, you can learn how to adult inside of a program that really understands brains and has little lessons, but also coaching. If that sounds amazing, which it is, I'm really excited about it. Please reach out to Sarah at sarahkesty.com if you want more information or if you want to be on the priority list for the program for Brain Tools School. Okay, I also wanted to share a little bit, brag on a client, and I changed her name because she is lovely and I want to honor that she has her privacy as well. So I'm going to call her Lindsay, but just this week, we were looking back at some of the wins she's had recently and just how different life is compared to this time last year or even 6 months ago, because she's using the tools that she's learning, because she's self-aware and watching her brain curiously and all the amazing things that she's doing. And we realized that she used to be so overwhelmed by papers, by writing papers for college, that she'd either wait until the night before to start them or just skip them altogether because it was gut-wrenchingly overwhelming. And sometimes that would cause her to have pretty low grades in the classes where the papers were due. So fast forward to now, several months later, and she is not only able to get them done, but she's also able to plan for them, to chunk them into small steps, and oftentimes get them done early, at least most of the time. And that is huge. And that is just a testament to how amazing the people I work with are and how cool it is to have a space like coaching where you can really explore strategies and your own perspective and really kind of, if not fall in love with the process of finding strategies and testing them out, then at least really enjoy watching yourself grow and give yourself the kindness and space to be able to grow. And it's not always easy. There certainly are still hard days, but that's the kind of growth that's possible that I'm just so excited and honored and really sometimes just surprised that that is part of what I'm doing now because it's amazing. Okay, I won't gush too much because it will end in tears. I really love what I do and I love being able to share ideas with you all on the show. Okay, so this week, I wanted to stretch our thinking a little bit and give us a new perspective that can really be a game changer, because sometimes we humans accidentally play on hard mode. And like I said in the beginning, I don't usually play video games, but I really used to love Guitar Hero. And fun fact, I was actually dressed as Judy Nails from Guitar Hero when I met my husband on Halloween a million years ago. So I did actually really love Guitar Hero. And in that game in particular, the modes and challenge levels can be pretty clear. So it's pretty obvious, like you could pick like beginner or hard mode or whatever it used to be called. And I was not good at hard mode. And sometimes I would pick it just to see if I could do it, but the audience booed me. It made my band lose. So the people who were playing with me weren't real happy with it because it made the game end pretty fast. And it actually wasn't fun. It wasn't in a space where I was able to grow and practice strategies because it was too hard. It was just too challenging to give me a chance to actually grow. Right now in my life, fast forward 15 years later, we're learning to play pickleball. And hard mode in pickleball would be to play with leveled players who are higher than us. So yes, it's a thing. Pickleball has levels in it. We are clearly level one players. I think we've played for maybe 7 or 8 times. So not a lot. And if we played against even a level 3 player, they go all the way up to 5.5. But even if it was just that much of a gap, I wouldn't have what I need. The challenge would be too high. And I really wouldn't get to practice anything because I'd just be losing the whole time. And why I'm bringing these analogies to us is because our brains are playing a game constantly, and our brains have things that they need or work well for them. And sometimes we accidentally play life on hard mode by not giving our brains what they need. There are a few things that we know that actually make executive function harder to use and grow. There are setups that impair our focus or decrease our self-regulation or make thinking nearly impossible. And we play on hard mode in life when we don't account for or we ignore the challenge levels that are actually optional for us. Just like in pickleball, I don't have to play in high heels. I don't have to play with a big headache or not having eaten for 2 days or play against players who are too hard. We have options for making it easier and better for our brains to play the game of life. And sometimes we either forget about them or discount them or just feel so much pressure that we ignore those things that we can do for our brains. And then we put ourselves on hard mode by accident. So a couple things that I've found and the research has shown really make executive function extra tricky and what to do about them. All right, number one, hydration. I know how many of you are like looking around for your water bottles right now. It's a thing, but there's actually a study that I'll link in the show notes that showed that dehydrated participants, and this was only like a 3-5% dehydration. It was not much. It was like playing a sports game where you sweat a little bit for about an hour, that level of dehydration. So those dehydrated participants made 12% more mistakes on tests of cognitive flexibility, which cognitive flexibility is an executive function. And the good news is rehydrating them brought their executive function skills back to their baseline levels. Isn't that cool? So if thinking feels a little bit tricky, if you feel like you're just kind of in like rock brain mode or extra stuck or things are a little bit wonky, it could be that you're playing on hard mode because you haven't had enough to drink. Crazy, right? There's a free upgrade to make our lives a little bit easier. All right, go grab your water. And as you do, we're going to learn about a couple more executive function hard mode busters. Okay, our next one is to consider is location. So think about it this way. Businesses design their environments to influence our behavior. Literally, the things around us change the way we think and act. So think about colors, the feel of a seat, the fonts, the lighting, the visuals in a restaurant, for example. All of those are designed to impact how much you order, what you think of your experience, and even how long you stay. Because yes, some of those hard plastic chairs are actually designed to make you get out faster so that there's more new room for new people. So if we think about it, if the corporate world is willing to spend money on experts who design spaces to impact your brain and your choices, I think it's safe to consider that environment is a big factor in determining your executive function game mode. Okay, if you're sold, if you're like, oh, all right, that makes sense, here are a couple things to consider. So one thing to consider is to match the energy type of the task that you're going for. So if you need really deep focus, you may think about, okay, where are people really deeply focused, and park yourself in that space so that you are using that environment to be your ally, to help support you in getting what you need to be focused. Or if it's where, like, actually really got a bunch of, you got to get a bunch of stuff done, then maybe that's an upbeat, sort of moving, fast-paced environment that you want to put yourself in. I think a lot of us realized during the pandemic, when we were all home, how much environment impacted us, because many of us had to try to work from home, which meant all of a sudden home, which in our brains used to be the environment of resting and fun and distraction, then had to somehow magically transform also into a space of productivity and focus and getting things done. And that was hard. So consider what you're asking of yourself and matching the location, just sort of the vibe, the energy type, to help be your ally. Another thing to consider for location is the sounds and noise levels. So it's counterintuitive, but many people with ADHD report that having familiar sounds in their environment, so music that they know, or even sometimes for some people I work with, like a show in the background, actually helps their focus because it helps them stop scanning the auditory environment for new things, because we know our brains are really activated by new and novel. So some people's brains are kind of low-key in the background, constantly scanning the auditory environment for sounds that they can then pay attention to. Having something to sort of drown that out with the predictability of a familiar track can be helpful. Some brains like mine, absolutely not. You put on something fun and my brain's all there, so I need really quiet for my deep focus, for writing this show, for doing any writing that I do. Otherwise, I need quiet. It's not right or wrong. It's just kind of your brain's brand. So whatever works for you, consider the location and the sound, because sometimes having a mismatch there is, again, accidentally putting you on hard mode when you don't want that to be the challenge that you're facing. Other things to consider would be like the activity around you. If you're someone who really gets distracted by people walking around, maybe if you can't change where you are, change how you are. So face your body towards less movement, move away from a window, that kind of thing. You can also consider how close or far from other people you are, even if they're not people that you know. But sometimes we really can do that thing that research calls body doubling, where we kind of borrow or match the energy of people around us. I'm laughing because as I'm recording, I'm like gesturing as if you can hear me, you can see me, you cannot. But we've got those mirror neurons in our brain that are constantly sort of matching up to make sure that we're appropriate. And sometimes that can actually be to our advantage when we're able to match up the maybe focused energy or the high productive energy of someone around us. And then also consider the specialness of a place. So again, with the example of Lindsay that I was saying in the beginning that I'm celebrating, she also has found a spot in her college campus that has a really pretty part of the library that she calls the Harry Potter room. And that feels really special. So when she has to do some deep thinking or extra studying, oftentimes that's the place that she'll schedule herself to go, because her brain really associates that with, okay, this is important, this matters, it's special, I'm going to bring my A game. So instead of somewhere being just, ugh, this again, kind of accidentally on hard mode, it actually is a boost. Okay, so we've got hydration. So now you're drinking your water. You're thinking about, okay, where am I? And is my space my ally, or is it accidentally making it harder for myself? The next thing to consider is ignoring our bodies. So some researchers describe it as bottom-up signaling. So if you wanted to geek out and Google that, that could be a phrase to use. But the idea is our bodies are constantly sending us signals to our brains, so from our bodies up to our brains, that say, I'm hungry, this isn't comfortable, I'm cold, I'm satisfied, whatever it is. When we're ignoring those signals, oftentimes our body's like, oh, whoops, maybe I'm not loud enough, and it'll just keep ramping up for us. Helpful for when we need to be motivated to seek food or rest or shelter. Not helpful when it's we skipped lunch to study, but then our body's like, actually, I'm going to start giving you a headache for like, pay attention to me. So oftentimes we put ourselves accidentally on hard mode because we're ignoring those signals from our bodies. It can also be important to consider because those signals from our bodies end up taking up space in our working memory. And if we think of our working memory like a whiteboard, it's constantly being erased and rewritten all the time. And it can functionally hold about 3 to 7 things in it. And every distraction takes a spot of something you're trying to think about. So have you ever walked into a room? Oh, please. We've all done this. You walk into a room and then you realize, like, my body's here, but I have no idea why I'm here. That's probably because the task of why you came in was in your working memory and then on the whiteboard in your brain, and then something erased it because maybe you got distracted on the way, maybe either like you had a sensory experience that erased it, whatever it was, things competed for your attention, which took them off of your whiteboard. So when we ignore our bodies, we're also making our working memory, that whiteboard in our brains, more susceptible to being erased because our body's just continuing to send the signals. So listening to your body could mean getting up and moving every 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever works for you. Don't take that as a prescription. Just paying attention to the signals of like, ooh, I feel kind of wiggly. Or, I haven't stood up for a while. I need to move. It could mean really taking some time to set yourself up before you work. So making sure that the temperature's right, you have what you need around you, you've got your water, hint, hint, maybe you've eaten, all of the things that are taken care of so that you don't have to fight with your body signaling you. And think about it this way. If you end up sitting and staring and like time's passing, but really nothing's happening, that's a good indication that you're stuck and you're accidentally on hard mode if you just keep forcing yourself rather than saying, okay, I'm stuck, I'm gonna go reset. And again, a reset could be like a quick nap, a change of activity, but set a timer to make sure that you do come back. Taking like having a snack. I don't know if I already said that. Having a drink of water. Yes, I'm not sponsored by the Water Foundation, but reminding you because it is darn important. All right, so we accidentally play on hard mode when we are dehydrated, when we're working in a space that is not our ally, which is distracting or giving us input that we can't handle at the time, like noise or distractions. If we ignore our bodies, another thing that accidentally puts us on hard mode is feeling socially isolated or in conflict. So it amazes me every time I say this fact, but it is true. The part of our brain that processes physical pain is the same part of our brain that processes emotional pain. So we don't like physical pain. We avoid it. It's something that we really focus on. Same thing with emotional pain. So we know that stressed brains can't think as well. There's a lot of demonstration of brain scans where you can see that if you're having a stress, especially if it feels like a threat, that changes the location and intensity of your brain activity away from your prefrontal cortex, which is where executive function happens. And we know that it makes sense that our brains interpret social isolation as a threat, because when our brains were developing, as we were evolving, we had to be tuned into isolation, because if we weren't, if we ended up isolated from our tribes, we could end up really suffering, if not dead. So of course, our human brains are saying, whoa, 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 I have to be connected. I have to be accepted. I have to have that social safety. So if you are in a situation where you do need to work or focus, but you've got this conflict or maybe feeling isolated, take a little bit of time to either make peace or make a scheduled time later to make peace, or even make peace about the conflict temporarily. So this means you don't necessarily solve the problem, but you do something to show your brain, hey, yes, I get it. This does feel like a threat. We are definitely going to work on it, but I need you to press pause right now because we've got to do something else. So that could mean writing a letter, possibly that you send, possibly that you never send. That could be scheduling time to think about the thing later. So like, hey, after work, I promise we're going to sit down and figure this out, either with the person that the conflict's with or even just in your own brain. And it also could mean asking for help. All right, so we're thinking about hydration, location, what our bodies need, what our social emotional needs are. Another way that we accidentally play on hard mode is by keeping distractions all around us. And yeah, we get it, right? Like phones steal our brain. There's research that shows that even if they're in the room, they are draining students' focus. Isn't that wild? So even if they're off, even if they're in the background, there's something about knowing that they're there that ends up stealing our focus. So, and it makes sense, right? Because they're kind of visual prompts of funner things. So if I see my phone, my brain's registering that, oh, there's actually a better source of dopamine right here. And then I'm having to use my resources to say, yes, and I'm not going to use it. It's a lot easier if it's not there to remind me. Speaking of reminding us, if you've got tabs open, literally on your device that are also more fun than the job you're supposed to be doing, that is in the same way reminding your brain, hey, there's this cool dopamine source that you're not really supposed to have access to, but it's here, but you could. And so oftentimes using like a Chrome extension like OneTab or Google Chrome, I think even has like a new feature to kind of collapse all of your tabs into one, can really help, because then you don't lose the cool things that you had open, but you also don't have them sort of nagging at the side of your brain like, oh, come on, just play with me. It's the same thing when I really need to focus. I can't have the cats in my office because, hello, they're way more fun than anything I could be doing on a screen, and I'm going to want to play with them, versus when I've really got to get in the zone and stay in the zone, that's when those things go away. Another thing is if you've got noises or reminders of things that you'd rather do around. So if you leave some sort of like notification on a device, or if you can hear people in another room having fun without you, those are things that are going to put you in hard mode accidentally. And that does not mean that we get to go out of our workspace and say, everyone stop having fun. I mean, it might feel a little good in the moment, but let's face it, that's not probably a sustainable strategy. So instead, that might mean, okay, finding ways to block out the sound, either with a white noisemaker or with headphones, something that you can do to help future you have fewer distractions and fewer reminders that the task that you're doing isn't as fun as what you could be doing, but it is more valuable. And then a last distraction that we have that, boy, do we fight all the time, is our brain saying we can do two things at once. So of course I can listen to that podcast and pay bills. Of course I can, you know, text with my buddy and still work on this project. It really is, yes, you can possibly be doing two things in the same minute or in the same 5 minute span, but the at once, very simultaneously, is a lie. When we're doing two things at once, we're actually just asking our brain to toggle back and forth, which takes a lot of cognitive tax. And then we're exhausted because we've been accidentally playing on hard mode, making our brain sort of doing this hop, hop, hop between tasks, when we could save a little bit of brain juice by just doing one thing at a time. All right. The last way that we accidentally play on hard mode is not asking for help. And I'm recognizing my own hypocrisy right here because this one is incredibly hard for me. But if we ignore our personal signs of being stuck, or if we don't plan to get help on the things that like really are outside of our wheelhouse, then we are accidentally playing on hard mode. We are maybe using up resources just being stuck so that we feel like we spent a whole bunch of time and effort but with no results. So if that is the case for you, like it is for me, it's often helpful when you're planning your week or even when you recognize like, okay, I've been doing this for 20 minutes. I'm starting to get the tension that I feel normally, or I'm noticing that I'm checking my phone more often, if it's still in the room, or if I'm noticing like I have this like allergic reaction to my chair all of a sudden and I definitely need to be out of it. Those are probably signs that there's some help that you might need, which could mean simply looking something up, taking a break, asking someone for help, maybe going to a location if you're on a campus where you can go to a writing center or something like that to get some help. All of those things can really help get you unstuck and get you off of hard mode. Okay, so we accidentally play on hard mode sometimes. We don't hydrate enough. We ignore our bodies. We ignore social and emotional pain. We keep distractions around and we don't ask for help. And all of those things are optional, which means that if we take some time to consider them now, we will have better experiences moving forward, better chances to practice our skills and our strategies, and just a smoother experience. All right, y'all, it is time for our Hey Human pep talk. If you have a young human who likes the end part of this podcast, go grab them now. But just like I said a couple episodes ago, this is actually not only for students anymore, because I'm recognizing, hey, we all have human brains and executive function helps approximately everyone. Hey, human. People talk about gamifying life sometimes, and maybe it helps to add play to the boring parts. But what about when you're accidentally playing on challenge mode or hard mode? Sometimes we do things or don't do things and make it harder for our brains to perform. You can have some easy wins by thinking about the spots in your life where you are accidentally playing on hard mode. So ask yourself, am I hydrated? Is this a good space to work in? Am I emotionally able to work, or do I need to resolve or park a conflict first? Are there distractions that I can ditch for a little while? Do I need help at this point? Giving your brain a chance to consider the easy wins means the task you're doing will also be easier. We can change just a few small things to give our brains what they need and help us use and improve our executive function. Test it out this week and let me know how it goes. Sending you all my love. Hey, if you're growing from what you learn on the show, you will love Brain Tools School. Brain Tools School's first class starts soon and is designed for thriving in life after high school and in college. Easy wins and proven strategies will ensure success in college and beyond. Over 2,000 students have blossomed with this support, and it's your turn or your child's turn. Click the link in the show notes to learn more.
Thank you for listening to the Executive Function Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please head over to sarahcasti.com, where you'll find more resources and chances to connect with others. And please remember to like and review the show wherever you listen to this podcast. We're eager to transform the lives of even more families.